So, hello everybody. Yes, I can't believe it either. We're back for a brand new series of the MPL show. No longer sponsored by anybody. Can we get away with that?
That's okay.
Can we get away with that?
Well, we've gone stuck now, so you may as well.
Just to let everyone know, our auditor is here from the league, James Hayes. Welcome back. T-Got, for those who are unaware. Berkey's here from 26-0, the official radio broadcaster for Hyde United this season and beyond.
Well, technically unofficial, but yeah, I get your point. Yeah, very much like FC United Radio are unofficial FC United radio broadcasters.
And joining me here, non-league journalist, is Mr. Andrew Simpson.
Hello, how was your holiday?
Holiday was fine. I never went away.
Remember, we all went together, do you remember?
Yeah, it was great, wasn't it? That NPL holiday we had.
Yeah, it was amazing. Thanks, league.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you to the league. A nice trip away to Haysham. It was lovely. Anyway.
It was lovely, yeah.
Yeah, we got lost. We wanted to go somewhere else.
Apparently, but I was driving. I enjoyed that.
Lovely Ready Brett glow around me now. It's marvellous.
So, yes, this is the NPL show. We are back. This is the season preview. Obviously, the big season kickoff for the Northern Premier League is taking place this coming Saturday. All the other leagues have already kicked off. We've saved the best till last. So coming up over the course of the next hour or so, we're going to be basically replaying the closing show for last season, where we speculated how everyone was going to do, except this time round I think we're a little more well informed.
Well, we've got information now, haven't we?
We've got notes, paper.
All those signings that were rumoured to be taking place have now taken place, so we're good and ready. A big thank you to the Heaton Hops who've agreed. Again, don't know why.
We just showed up tonight.
Yeah, muscled our way in. A big thank you to them for hosting us. It's a rolling contract. A big thank you to them for hosting us for another season. For those missing Swamper, he will be back next week for our weekly show, which is going to be pre-recorded live from Hyde United. On
no, it's from your ground.
Broadhead
Park. Very, very lonely recorded.
So I've still not got over the fact that FC United are in the league. Anyway.
We meet
a long time for
I'm only kidding. It's good to be home. Anyway, right. In the meantime, let's start by talking about the new teams who've joined the league this season from up on high. Ashton United and FC United of Manchester. What can we expect? Firstly, Berkey, coming to you for our team side view.
He turned that page with real intent.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
5 pages of notes.
Like me and you were on the same page pretty much there, weren't we?
Well, I was 5 pages in
the page. Yeah, that's why you
turned it. Okay. Ashton United, what can we expect?
Well, I think we can expect them to do well, but I'm not expecting... Well, come on, they've thrown money at it, haven't they? But I'm not expecting them to be right up at the top end, to be honest. I think they'll be battling away for a playoff space. I think they've recruited very well. You look at Luca Haven there at the back. He's going to be absolutely key for him, a colossus at the back in defence there. But the thing is, they've lost Matty Chadwick to Warrington. Yeah. What an absolutely fantastic signing that is. And also a huge loss for Ashton United. But then you look at the friendlies that they've been playing. They've got Connor Hughes on the bench.
Yeah. One point I was about to say there is it's reversed because Connor Hughes obviously just left Warrington at the start of pre-season to go to Ashton.
Exactly.
So, big players there. But Ashton, as well, we were talking on our holidays, of course.
That's how exciting it was.
Haitian working men's club.
Exactly. I had them right at the start of the pre-season, seeing everything that was coming in, new chairman, everything that they've been saying and doing. I had them right up there to be as title contenders, but now as it's gone along, certain other signings like South Shields, Scarborough, they are going to be up there, but it's
obviously
a bit more close than I thought.
Not justifies the investment, puts them under pressure to challenge for the title.
Absolutely.
It's a serious reconstruction of an already decent team at this level. A lot of the names are familiar, but with the names that they've brought in, they have to challenge for the title, surely.
Well, they went up a couple of seasons ago with a much less heralded side, I suppose, than the one that they've currently got. The thing is, you look at them now and they strike me as being a very fit team, but I think there's room for improvement there. Okay. I'm not going to name any names on that front, but I think it's going to be interesting to see how Steve Thames does, on an unrelated note, because I thought he did very well a couple of seasons ago for Witton Albion. I'm not sure how he did in Wales, but
really well
they are. He's in a vein of form that's been lasting them a good 2 or 3 seasons now.
I mean, we'll come to your predictions shortly, obviously, because I think a lot of people tuned in just for that reason alone.
It's just only so they can laugh at us in May, though, isn't it?
I know. FC United. That's what comes to me for this. Swamper. Where's Swamper when you need him?
Oh, well.
But what do we think about the recruitment of FC United? Because I've seen them in pre-season. Right. They look pretty sharp. They're playing like a Neil Reynolds side, which they've never done in Neil Reynolds' tenure for various reasons from last year. So, should be a bit optimistic.
I think you should be optimistic. Obviously,
It's not me, I'm independent.
Well, I think the caveat is, obviously, it's such a huge turnover of players that there's obviously going to need to be a spell where people are a little bit patient while they kind of figure out who's going to play where. There's going to be a lot of competition for places. There's some serious depth in that squad now. And so, I'm sure he's got an idea in his mind, certainly, for going in the weekend, but that might change or evolve over the next few weeks. I don't know. I think I did ask Swampy last time he was on, kind of what represents a good season for FC. Like, we were just saying about Ashton probably should challenge with the investment that they've put in and also, you know, the know-how that Jody's got of getting them out of the league a couple of years ago. I don't know whether FC are kind of looking at it in the same way, really.
Continue. I was going to say, the main thing with FC this year, they've got players that are used to the Premier League. Reynolds has been playing in it, he's managed it for several years, and the players are gelling together. It's more the fact, though, you look at some of the players, they've played the majority of the time at step four in the first division. So, like Chris Almond, if he's still at the club,
he's injured. He's got a bad injury.
He's got a bad injury.
Yeah.
But if you talk about the left side, it's Dodd and Linney. So that's Bamba Bridges, left side from last season.
Yeah, but they were... Well,
yeah, that's really quality enough. Ali Waddingham,
they were their two best players.
Yeah.
So that's just how quick they can gel into playing step three football. But the big advantage FC have got is they can match him fan-wise. So it's the first time in a while that we've got clubs that you could be looking at 1,000 attendances in 3-4 games every week.
What's the mood at the club?
Optimistic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, contrary to popular belief, FC United aren't really looking for automatic promotion.
No,
if it comes, then great. Yeah, but it's not really, given where the club's been over recent years, it's just about having a good time.
Yeah.
And I know that might sound a bit cliche, but...
No, I think that's a really good attitude for what is going to be, as this podcast evolves, a brutal Premier Division this season.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely brutal, isn't it?
The thing is, there are no names in the FC United squad. And what you were saying there about it being a completely new team, well, they've had 10 pre-season games to get to know each other.
Yeah.
So they should be at a kind of, you know where each other play by now and all that. And you've got Tom Dean, who is an all-action centre-half.
Well, there's a debate whether Tom Dean will start. Chris Doyle and Curtis Jones.
Aaron Morris as well.
And Aaron Morris, the run-con lad, are all... It's like
about
squad.
Tom Dean strikes me as a captain, though.
No, Potts is the captain.
You know what I mean? Like, as a real leader on the pitch. Yeah.
Well, I interviewed him on Saturday and he gave the longest interview out of the seven players interviewed, so I suppose it's a good measure. But I was going to say, you said to me off air, the best signing FC United have made pre-season is Brian Richardson as assistant manager.
Yeah, I think it's really shrewd. I mean, Teagot makes a good point about some of the recruitment from step four, but that's not meant in a critical way. They've picked up some really clever, astute signings, and I've no doubt the obvious one, Prescott connection obviously with Brian, but his knowledge of players, what he's done with his former club at the level below, extraordinary turnaround at Prescott in the past few years when he's got a big part to do with that. I just think that know-how, the way Renault will be able to bounce off him, I just think it's a really clever, shrewd appointment. Maybe he's gone under the radar a little bit, I don't know, but I just feel that puts FC United in a really good position.
Interesting quote from Brian Richardson during pre-season when I interviewed him. He said, it's funny that playoff final a couple of years ago where Bamber Bridge beat Prescott Cables. I'm convinced that if I'd won that game, I'd be the manager of FC United now. And he did his assistant. Yeah, it's quite a joy.
I love it.
Let's talk about the teams who just missed out. I mean, obviously Fasa Celtic went up last season, but let's be honest, South Shields and Warrington would have been worthy champions and promotees themselves. Let's start off with South Shields firstly.
Are we in the real realm where they've got to win the league?
Not as such, no.
Okay.
Not after last season.
I think they should win it.
Yeah.
Right.
The recruitment's been pretty strong, hasn't it?
Yeah. Let's say, from what it started as, where again, a lot of people were writing South Shields off at the start of pre-season.
What?
Who was
but
that?
But then as the signings came along, especially Jason Gilchrist, who top goal scorer in the National League North last year, you back up there straight away.
Well, that's a statement of intent, isn't it? Which is why I said, have they got to win it?
I don't think they've got to, because they've got the resources to come again if they do miss out.
Okay.
But you look at the Manchester connection there, as you say, Jason Gilchrist. You've got Adam Thurston, former FC man Nathan Lowe, another former FC United man. Luke Daly, who was at Drawsden. They've got digs up there. You know, I'm not sure if they're going to be living there up there all week.
Well, even still, I think the shape of the league this year, especially because there's no Yorkshire sides at all, majority of the league is Manchester based this year, if not down the south end of the M1. So there's a lot of clubs that have been looking. It's players like they've lost, South Shields.
Carl Finnegan,
Morpeth Town, Dunstan. Yeah.
I think there's always been a streamlining of the squad, hasn't there? They put the retain list down, there was like a dozen names on, and some of them were very young players, but there was a lot of established names on there as well, like Barry Smith, who's they've had a game for us and celebrate how long he's been at the club, and Finnegan was another.
Dave Foley's still around.
Cogden's gone as well. So kind of some of the real stalwarts. It's almost like they are entering the next stage now. I know with some of the off-the-pitch stuff and the way they're going to change the model of training, that rings true. And so that would be interesting to see how that kind of beds in. But they've got to be the favourites, haven't they?
I would have thought so.
Yeah.
They're up there, definitely. I mean, the way they're shaping off the pitch, during the off-season, they've been nominated for pretty much every club award. Hospitality. So they're doing it right off the pitch, which is what they said they want to do first.
Oh, they're making a lot of friends.
That's what I mean. They're doing it in the schools. Yeah, yeah. They're going the right way. They look like they could be a Football League club in the future.
I'll tell you what, though, Teagot. A team who I think will run them close, only, you know, they'll probably be about 10 points behind them.
Have you got a klaxon?
That was brilliant. That was
brilliant.
Best one you've ever done, that.
Thank you. Warrington Town.
Good segue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jinx. So, Segway Central, Warrington.
I think Chadwick's a bit of a game changer. If you get a fit, healthy, firing, up for it, Chadwick. I think it takes them to the next level. Sounds ridiculous. We're now close to getting it. I think it takes them closer to South Shields than maybe some of the other teams.
Yeah, I remember seeing him play for Chadderton when he was 17.
Wow.
He was the best player on the park, and he lost 8-2. Absolutely ridiculous in the FA Cup against Cheadle. And I just think they've signed even more experience, because they are probably the elder statesman of the division, I think. But Steve Jennings there in midfield. He had 3 years in the Scottish Premier League. He was actually Jim Gannon's first signing for Motherwell back in the day.
Was he?
He certainly was, yeah. And I think they've got a real good platform to build on. And like I say, I think they'll be around about 10 points behind South Shields.
We said about the expectations of South Shields. There must be an expectation at Warrington.
I think so. And obviously, keeping older Garrity might be one of the signings in the summer as well. You know, sometimes it is who you keep rather than who you bring in, and you know, it's a real coup given the interest that they had in him to persuade him to stay. He obviously believes in what they're trying to do. My only concern, and this might be banished pretty quickly depending on how they start, is whether there will be a hangover from the way in which they missed out.
No, I can't.
Pretty
say
heartbreaking.
That.
Any other season in the history of the Northern Premier League, they'd have been promoted.
Yeah, well, that's been and gone now.
Maybe
I'll say the last 15 minutes of the game that hurt, and I agree with that. Is how quickly you can get over. But you look at what they've been doing pre-season. They've been scoring for fun. Let's be honest. Pre-season
scored seven
means
twice.
Exactly.
So we suggest that they're going to be okay. I just will be interested to see that when the real stuff gets going.
I'd expect clean sheets and build from there. I really do. I think they were the best defensive side in the division last year, and I'd fully expect them to be the same again this time around.
Let's turn to the two teams who were also in the playoffs last season. Firstly, Nantwich Town. I think a lot of people would say they overachieved, or maybe made par. I don't know, but
They certainly did
had a cracking season
better
last year.
Than last couple of seasons prior as well. Yeah,
they basically got to the stage where Phil Parkinson got them. After a couple of years,
which is tremendous.
So can they do it again?
Well, the thing is, Ben, they faded really badly at the end of last season. They won 2 out of the last 9 games.
Weren't they in the playoffs for ages, though? They were basically secured in the playoffs.
No, not quite.
We did talk about this a lot on the show, didn't we, about taking, you know, good form into the play. I went to the semi-final against Warrington, and whilst it wasn't a 4-1 game, that was a bit harsh. there is no doubt the best team won, and there was, it happened in the microcosm of that game. They faded in that game, yeah, as well. And Warrington made good substitutions in that, which had no answer to it. In no way is that a failure on their part, but it did kind of tally with what had gone before in their running.
They've kept Casper Hughes as well, which is a huge player for them. They've got Ben Harrison back.
Great
too.
Signing.
He's another towering centre half, and you can't miss him, can you? He's 6'5", 6'6", something like that. But he can play a bit too. Got a really good attitude. But here's the thing: they've only got four games this month because one of the teams they were meant to be playing, they've got an FA Cup game later down the line, so they'll be a little bit behind out the blocks compared to everyone else there. And so they're going to need to win the games. They've got a couple of tough ones to begin with as well against Gainsborough and Buxton. So yeah, be
they've
really
lost
interesting.
A couple of players as well, haven't they? Morgan went, the brilliant fullback, went to Chester. Mullicky stepped up to Alty. You know, Parky coming back to again to his former club. Harrison more than fills that gap, by the way. And so they've one or two other additions have made. So Matty Devine, fullback from Witten, which is a really good signing. Yeah. Greg Hall, the goalkeeper from Witten, has gone to Nantwich as well. And you said about Warrington, the best defence. Warrington, Witten were top of that clean sheet table last year. Yeah. So a guarantee of solidity there. So I think they can be. I was a bit worried about them when the names were leaving. You're thinking, oh, poor Cookie's got to go again here. But they have recruited quite well, haven't they?
I think
quite optimistic for them again.
What about Buxton then?
Well, this is the thing with Buxton. They had that.
I mean, I'm right in saying they certainly achieved brilliant things last season, the way they got into the playoffs and leapfrogged over.
They had a real charge, didn't they, towards the end of the season? But I think they've recruited fantastically well, starting from the back.
One player.
Well, you've got Grant Shenton at the back, who's a fantastic goalie at this level as well. You've got Alex McQuaid, who's captain over at Ossett United. Very, very good centre half. But then, I think who you were alluding to there, T, you got a wild card, a real wild card in Martin Pilkington. Been out of the game for 3 years. He's raring to go. Yeah. He's got new boots. He's got a new haircut.
He knows how to get the best from him as well.
Yeah, he does. He worked with him at Ashton United. And I wouldn't say they're similar characters, but they feed off each other. You know, they understand each other. And he couldn't have signed for a more perfect manager for him.
Well, if he hits it off with Hardy, is there a better strike force in the league?
Well, that's the thing. They've kept faith with Hardy. He's 31 now. Pilkington's 30.
Okay.
But will they play together? Will they go with a 4-2-3-1? Will they go 4-4-2? I mean, James Dean, he's gone back to Paddy. And he was doing a fine job up there, was James Dean. He actually he pushed out Hardy from the team last season. So it'd be... I'm really intrigued to see what happens actually at Buxton this season. And remember as well, they got Alex Brown at left back.
Yeah, great.
For me, he's the best young left back in the division, unchallenged.
Totally agree.
Let's talk about two of the sides who just missed out, who potentially a lot of people were predicting good things for last season. Firstly, Gainsborough Trinity. Kind of didn't really happen, did it? It kind of started off okay and then
went okay the rest of the time.
And then okay again and then just okay at the end.
Yeah, they nearly sneaked in. Yeah. Liam, they did well under Liam, and obviously he's finding his feet as a manager. He's got his mate Ross Hannah, who's alongside him, and they've had plenty of time to start planning for what they wanted to do. Again, we were talking with him privately about some of the signings that they've made. I think some real statements of intent in their recruitment, by the way. And
well, Kingsley James, what signing.
Fantastic signing.
Do we think Gainsborough are the... There you go. Dark horses this season.
No one seems to be talking about them in the same breath as South Shields and Warrington, though.
No, well, the reason for that is they've got an absolute embarrassment of riches up front. But
not
I think
the back.
That's the thing. I think they're fairly threadbare throughout the rest of the squad. They've got six centre-forwards.
Main thing for them this year is that they're not going to have the same stress to begin with, where they're expected to be fighting to get back into the National League.
I've just called them dark horses. There's big expectations.
Well, that's what
now.
I mean, but at the same time, they're not going to have that... but they sat last season where I had that little bit of a stumbling block, didn't lose three out of the first four, and so they're not going to have that same worry this year, I don't think, especially if they've recruited well. But again, they know what to expect this year rather than last year, and I think that will work to their advantage a bit more.
Scarborough then.
Well,
are we not talking about Basford?
I'll come back to Basford. I'm going to talk about Basford, but Scarborough first.
They kind of fizzled out like a vampire in the sun, didn't they?
That's a Whitby reference, and I won't allow it.
This is Scarborough's media officer you're talking to.
I know. You should know better, though, shouldn't
he? You should know better, yeah.
Right. No, I've not brought it with me, to be fair. No, but John Deasy steadied the ship when he came in, no question about it, but they never threatened either when he came in, but they were in free fall before he did get pointed and all.
I think a lot of people were expecting him to basically go in and renovate over close season as he'd done that.
Well, I think the advantage he's got is, I don't know if you agree with this, by going in when he did, I think you're right, I don't think it was too late maybe to save the season in terms of getting in the playoffs, but what it hopefully has been is an opportunity for him to have a look at everything. And if you remember rightly, kind of in May and June, they announced quite a lot of signings, if like he'd been thinking about it, right, this is who we need to get in. So they've had quite one advantage he definitely has got. He's had a bit of a run up to this, and so was able to kind of put together, hopefully, the squad that he wants. And has kept, he's kept the big guns, hasn't he? The goalkeeper was a big coup for them to keep him. And then, obviously, Coulson and Walshaw up front. So they've kept their big players as well. So I think that will work to their advantage, definitely.
Where they needed to really solidify was at the back. And I think they've done it. They've got Harry Coates there, who is a wonderful centre-half. I don't know what he's doing in this division. I really don't. He should be playing much higher. He was a Tadcaster last season just because he was playing with his mates. Seriously, he should be playing much, much higher. He's a great centre-half. Ellis Barkworth, again, another one who's coming from Taddy. Very talented full-back. And Danny Lowe on the other side from Bradford Park. I knew John Deasy, you'll know very well, of course. So yeah. I think they look really, really good at the back. But I think where they're lacking at the moment is in midfield. I think there's a danger there that they could be overrun, and I don't see them challenging for the top five. I think they're going to be. I think they're going to be top half, no question.
Yeah, is that good enough?
I don't know.
Come back to me in November.
Well, no. Look, the thing is, Ben, what people forget about Scarborough last season was it was the first season at this level.
Yeah,
it should have been a season for consolidation, but people were expecting it to go right the way through it, or at least being
we said that about two of the four sides that came up.
And of course, the other good side was top of the table as well. So like that Christmas that added to that, didn't
it? Yeah, of course. And he just fell away in the new year, unexpectedly, completely unexpectedly.
Speaking about teams in the first time at this level, let's talk about Basford United.
Let's
segues.
Yeah,
I know. You look.
We're on it, aren't we?
Basford United.
Yeah, again, another team who looked really, really good at the back. Dom Romer, you can't fault him at all, can you? Liam Bateman, who's probably the best fullback
really
in the division.
You really like Liam Bateman, don't
you? He's great. He's a great player. He's fast. He's energetic.
Early on last season, me and you and Luke, I'm not forgetting Luke, shared a game together where we watched Hyde United play Basford.
Yeah.
And you could just tell that it was like they were just finding the feet. Do you reckon Basford can go another level this season?
I think they'll be really annoyed if they're not in the playoffs.
Well, this is a club that fired the manager.
Only four spots.
Yeah, but this is the club that fired their manager when they were, like you say, the highest level the club has ever been at. In the top third of the table, even though they weren't trying to, the top third of the table. Yes, I know they invested heavily in the squad last summer. But that level of ruthlessness answers the question, I think. They hired Steve Chettle, giving him a long-term contract. I know he's working on with the academy side of things as well. His lad Callum is going to be playing for them.
They've very good signing, by
very,
the way.
Very good signing.
He was great for Ilson when they were in this division.
And there's great continuity there, because I pretty much think they've kept everybody. They have kept everybody. So he's
Kane Richards as well.
Kane Richards,
he's lightning up.
So they are used to playing together, although the manager's new. And then they've added a little bits of quality with Richards and Chetley, who again were both with Steve at Ilkeston. So they have to be up there. I know we were having about 30 teams in the playoffs.
Yeah, but arguably,
out of places there.
Arguably as well, though, they've got the easiest start in the division, excluding their opening game against Hyde away, of course. They've got Matlock at home, they've got Lancaster at home, they've got Grantham away, and you've got Radcliffe Borough as well at home. So they've got
shots fired.
Yeah, they've got.
Actually, is the fixture computer broke? Because you played them on the first game of the season last
year. Yeah, we did. I was very annoyed.
And Nantwich played Gainsborough on the first
game
of the season as well.
Yeah.
What's the crack?
Come on, auditor.
Hey,
that's why you're here.
Okay.
Computer says no. Oh, anyway, right.
The thing is, sorry, Ben. Where they lost it last season was December and January. They lost 7 out of 8.
Didn't they lose 7 out of 8 players?
Pretty much. Yeah, they did. When they lost against Hyde, that 8-3,
they had a bug, didn't they? That hit the dressing room.
Everyone had flu.
Yeah,
it was ludicrous. But they left it too late to sign any of the youth team players on, so they had to have people playing with swollen heads and things like that.
Is that a big head joke you just made there?
What? No, no.
I feel very conscious all of a sudden. Don't know why.
Oh, actually, it's...
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty big. but anyway, I had to get this hat off a special internet site.
Oh, really?
What did you type in then to get that?
Beefy bonces. Big.
Yeah, why not? Right. Very good. Let's talk about the teams who... We're outside bets for the playoffs. We kind of gave them a chance towards the end of last season, but really they were always on the back foot in March, April time. Firstly, no disrespect. We'll go to first because both your clubs are in that bracket.
Well, Witten were in that. So.
Yeah,
I think what we said again, as I said to you, I think the two clubs, well, might not be after last night, but the two clubs are going to this season in a very similar position in that you're kind of looking up and going, it's such a big step to get to the next bit of the table. And then obviously that's before you even think about how strong Ashton are going to be, how strong the new teams are going to be. I think, I'll let Berkey speak behind, but I think for these two clubs, if they were to repeat what they did last season, that would represent an outstanding campaign, I think, because the league, absolutely, I think, is harder this time around. Now, Witten's ambitions, and I don't think I'm speaking out of turn, aren't necessarily to make the playoffs this season. I'm sure the management team would say that, but you just have to be realistic about it. But people who aren't aware, they played a friendly against Kidsgrove on Tuesday night and their captain, Rob Hopley, left the field on a stretcher. We don't know how serious it is. It looks like a serious knee injury that may keep him out for the start of the season and maybe longer. And I think, I was saying to Berkey upstairs, that actually that one blow may change kind of the where they set their sights for the campaign. We'll have to wait and see how bad it is, but... Yeah, I think it might seem negative to say, but I think if they were to finish roughly in the same position again, that would represent a superb campaign.
Absolutely.
What about Hyde?
Well, there's been a big restructure, as you know. Yeah. Darren Kelly's not the manager anymore. He's moved upstairs.
Did you see that coming?
Well, we knew that there'd be some kind of movement after Mark Worthington died, but I really didn't see Daz moving into what essentially his role and overseeing the entire club. But
how's he getting on so far?
Brilliantly.
Yeah.
Actually, it's been a really good pre-season. Hyde have gone unbeaten in it, and they've been really patient actually in the transfer market. There's no, as with FC United, no superstars coming in or anything like that. The biggest name is probably Bailey Gooder from Scarborough, who I've ranted on about on the show before. And he's looking very good pre-season, albeit playing at right-back rather than centre-half. Liam Tong, I think he's a great signing too. Jack Dyche as well.
Yes, great signing.
But here's the thing with Hyde. It's a very, very young team. The oldest player, if you take out John McCombe, who's the player assistant manager, it's John Fagbola at 26 years old. Everyone else is 25.
If you can keep hold of him for the entirety of the season, I'll be amazed, because I think... some clubs will be looking at him and starting the season if they're running.
Yeah, absolutely. And Tom Pratt as well. Paddy Lane, well, we know that that he's had the Championship clubs looking after him. The thing about Hyde is they're a team with so much potential. I kind of want to see what the Hyde team now would look like in 5 years' time. We've got this young lad called Louis White who he's only 18, but he's got my build, except far more athletic.
I mean, I'm sorry to tell you.
He's a monster of a man.
Sorry to in full flow about this, but can you rely? This is Rich coming from a United fan, but can you rely on kids too much in this instance? Is it going to be enough against?
I thought Berkey made a dead good point about this though when we were going to and fro in the week about, you know, we kind of get starstruck a little bit by some of the other teams we talk about. Oh, look who they signed from the Conference North and all National League North and all, and you're kind of drawn to go. Well, automatically then they're going to be really good, but. Berkey made a really good point to us that some of these players actually have hit their peak and are now coming back in the other direction of their career. It doesn't mean they're not good players anymore, but it's whether there's an element of gambling that, isn't there? Mm. And where Hyde might be really clever and they might be proving to have, you know, they've gone in the other direction, but it might not necessarily mean that they can't compete and beat some of these other teams.
There is a lot of talent.
Let's talk about some of the underachievers from last season. I'm going to start off by talking about Stafford Rangers.
Hang on. You can't say Stafford Rangers are last season's underachievers. They've been the underachievers for the last few seasons.
Okay. The perennial underachievers, Stafford Rangers.
Well, they did end last season well, though, didn't they?
Yes.
They only lost two out of 14.
So are we expecting that to continue?
I'd like it to, actually. I've got a lot of time for Stafford Rangers, and I think that Alex Meacham and Andy Fern, I think they've done an absolutely stonking job since they took over. I really, really do. They went unbeaten against South Shields, against Warrington, against Nantwich, against Basford in that running. And they've got the potential there. Theo Bailey.
Draw-kins, weren't they? Draw-kins.
That's the problem. They need to convert those draws into wins. But they've got talent there, and they've made a cracking signing as well in Alex Ray Harvey in midfield.
And they've raided Mikkelova for a couple of players as well, haven't they? Lewis King, the goalie.
Yeah.
Evan Garnett, who I really like, centre forward.
Massive hair.
Big hair.
Yeah.
That isn't why I like
it. What's a good season for Stafford, do you think?
Mid-table.
No.
Mid-table, pushing towards the playoffs. They've got to
top
start.
Top half.
Top 10, I'd say.
Okay. What about Whitby? Are we expecting a lot more from Whitby?
Hang on, are you saying Whitby were underachieving last season?
I think Whitby, Chris Hardy would freely admit.
Really?
They got relegated the year before, though, didn't they?
But they've kept the band together. And that's the thing. Kieran Ledger's really still there. Lee Bullock's still there. Dale Hobson's still there. Greg Rutherford. You know, it's the tried and tested players that are still there.
Again, another club off the field have started looking at not just the club itself, but the local area.
Absolutely.
So again, bars, I know it's nothing to do with football, so bars have been done on, they're trying to get the schools involved.
It's a no-brainer, that's how you get the crowds for the
door. But that's why they're doing it off the pitch. So again, if they can turn it into, they can get the crowd going and everything like that, it will relate on the pitch. And again, not saying it's going to be an instant turnaround where they're going to be a playoff contender once again, but could be one of them, like you look at, say, they're going to be another Barwell who could be
I think mid-table's a good season for them. And this is no way meant as a Christian, but they are a small club.
Snaith, get in touch.
interesting signings, though. They've got this lad called Ben Kitchen coming in, who they've got from, I've got it written down here somewhere, NK Novigrad of the Croatian third division. Now, I'm sure you know Ben, because as a keen gamer, that Novigrad is the capital city in The Witcher 3.
Are you keen gamer?
No.
But The Witcher 3 is great, by the way. It's a genuinely very good game.
They also signed a lad called Cook and Paul Connolly. I should have given him a shout out. Did a really funny headline involving Cook and Kitchen. Hey, fair play if you're listening. Yeah. Paul, I enjoyed it if no one else did.
What about last season's big underachievers, Matlock?
Hang on, they didn't underachieve, did they?
They had like one compared of the
worst. They really started.
They're streaky, weren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, it was quite bizarre in the fact that did they start badly?
They started well, and then won the first game of the season, which was a good start. Then they lost about 20 games on the trot. And then Craig Westcar scored a million goals. They won. It's like 8 games on the spin or something daft like that.
Comes with an asterisk. Came up to the
Within 2 points of the playoffs or something daft like that, and then nearly got relegated. What a weird season.
This is all very broad brushed, all that. Meanwhile, Steve Kitchett's come back back to a role as a manager and back in at Matlock. So
there's been a huge turnover of players, but that's not necessarily a bad thing considering the season that they had previously. A lot of lads that Dave Frexton has brought in and kind of loyal to him, and he's used it as an opportunity to sweep the board, really. And so it's quite hard to predict what we're going to get from them, because like I was saying about FC United before, there's been so many new players that it's how they and how much time they need to kind of get their act together. But Steve is nothing if not an ambitious guy, so I'm pretty certain that he will expect them certainly to be higher than 15th place that they had last season, and in fact significantly higher. But
I know what to expect from them. I think they're going to be ugly. I think they're going to be in your face. But the question is, are they going to be effective? Because what I think is
that can you play ugly football with picturesque scenery?
Well,
it's
why
jarring,
not?
Isn't it?
Yeah,
it's
there's
jarring.
A nice juxtaposition for you, isn't it? Because what I think is that Steve Kittrick's brought in a real hodgepodge of players, but the battlers, every single one of them. You got Luke Dean, you got Spencer Harris, Ben Gordon as well. You know, there's no time wasters there, which ironically enough, John Stewart's in next because He will waste time from the first minute.
That was superb.
Those are the views of Birkin.
Yeah. Oh no, but he's brilliant at it, isn't he? He's genuinely
so kind of like
cartoon
level. You go beyond being annoying because it then becomes funny.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But anyway, let's talk about some other teams who I'm not going to put in any bucket at all. I'm just going to mention their names. Firstly, Lancaster City.
Yeah. They'll be annoyed that they lost the Fair Play Trophy for the first time in 10 years last year.
Is that right?
Yeah.
They'll be fuming.
Yeah.
Genuinely. The first time in 10 years?
Well, about five years.
Ah, that's not the same, is it?
We're not even in the top three. But again, a team that sat last year quite bad.
Oh, no, it weren't quite badly. It was awful.
Disastrous, yeah. And then, obviously, Matt Fell came in, turned the club around. Brilliant. He's recruited quite well, obviously a couple of players from Markham and from the North East.
They've raided Workington. I don't know if that's a good thing.
They've taken the best ones. They've got Jason Walker now. Sam Ashton, very good in Nets too.
Yeah, so another club similar to Stafford and similar to Matlock.
Well, if they continue how they finished last season, they'll be absolutely fine. In fact, they'll be top half, because after the defeat against Marine 3-1 on New Year's Day, they only lost twice for the rest of the season. They were very, very, very difficult to beat. But as with Stafford, they were drawing too many. It's about converting those draws into wins. They've still got a decent amount of firepower up front, but they'll...
It never really happened for Walker at Workington, though, did it?
No, it didn't. No. And, his best days are past him. We know that, but he's still capable, very capable. Same with Matty Blinkhorn.
Let's talk about a couple of the teams who just missed out on relegation. Thankfully for them, but they did just miss out. Strangely, Michelover Sports are taking on Stalybridge Celtic this weekend, which is odd. Oh. We'll start off with Michelover Sports. I mean,
took it 10 minutes before the end of the season to relegate Marine. You can't even muscle it, can you? Let's be real.
It doesn't matter, though. I mean, they'd take that, wouldn't they?
They finished the season really well, didn't they? You know, they deserved it. But... like we mentioned earlier, lost a couple of key players to Stafford. They brought in Greg Young this week, haven't they?
That's the problem. That's the problem, though. It's the same story as last season. Seriously, how many 35-year-old plus defenders do you need?
Go back to that question I asked you about Hyde. Michelover Sports, you know, I've got a few experienced players.
Yeah,
that's not necessarily a bad thing at this level. How many pacey kids are they going to come across?
Well, the problem is, it was a bad thing last season because they only just avoided getting relegated, and the season before that. So it's not ideal. The thing is, though, Ben, the biggest news that's come out of Mickle over the summer is that they're getting a new pitch installed, a new 3G pitch installed, and that could secure the future of the club. It's absolutely huge for them, that. We've seen how effective it's been at Hyde and at Buxton and other clubs around the region who maybe were struggling for revenue outside match days, and it's transformed them.
How many 3Gs we got in the league now? And it's not far for us, isn't it?
I mean, obviously, Ashton are going at the end of next season.
Yeah, South Shields got one.
Basford have got one.
Scarborough, Hyde.
So Michelover's opponents this weekend, Stalybridge Celtic. Come to you first, Berkey, for this bit.
It's been a let me get on my page.
Okay, there we go. Under the heading Stalybridge. It's got to be better than last year.
They were very lucky. They actually have been very lucky for now 2 years in a row not to be relegated.
Yeah, but, well, as you said,
no, there is no but. They're going to be fine, aren't they?
They should be better. My first words on it should be a bit better. So, yeah, they absolutely should. The thing is, they've got what I think is a pretty decent mix of players on the field there. But once you look past the starting 11, it's pretty threadbare. And they've got Stephen O'Halloran, who's come in defence. I think he's a cracking signing. They've had a good pre-season. Craig Hobson, he's come to the club. He's started scoring goals. He's got 5 pre-season. I know that's not necessarily an indicator of how he's going to do in the campaign itself. But it's a good start. They've got good players there. Scott Bacour, what a cracking player he was from last season. If they hadn't have had Scott Bacour, they would have been relegated, I'm sure of it. Ross Dent's very good in the centre of the park too, and I've mentioned all them before. You don't need to hear it, but it could be a big season too for Neil Kegney, who had a great spell around Christmas and New Year, but faded a little bit after that.
He's done quite well to keep hold of him.
Yeah. Exactly. He's a talented player. Yeah.
Main thing with Stalybridge is they're going to struggle with recruitment a little bit this year because the number of clubs around him that could compete at that sort of level. So again, FC, Ashton, Radcliffe, Atherton.
You love that. You just teed up that sentence just so you
did.
FC United, Radcliffe.
That's the first time I've mentioned him all that, but yeah, they're going to a lot more. Okay, you've got 16 clubs within an hour of each other, yeah, travel wise.
Let's talk Grantham Town.
Well, I remember this time last season, we were really, really worried about them. They had trialists everywhere. Well,
it was interesting, you know, they both came in there towards the, you know, the final third of the season, did a decent job of steadying the ship.
They were what they were. Yeah.
Is that going to kick them on this season, do you
think? Yeah, I think, no, well, the contrast, Berkey, is that they have put together the squad. They have got a team going into the first game.
At least they do, so, yeah.
You know, I think they've gone out and quite deliberately targeted the people they wanted.
I thought you were going to say deliberately created a team.
No. there's been a plan, is my point. You know, the way in which they've announced steadily over the course of summer, it seems like they've been working to a plan. So they are actually, yes, in a better position than what they were this time last year.
But they're doing a Mickle over in so much that the best players that they're signing are as old as the hills. You know, Craig Westcar's come in, Danny Rackett, who could be a great signing for him if A, they can keep him
Greg
fit.
Greg Smith's gone back, they're getting the band back together as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, exactly.
I think survival is a result for them.
Yeah, I fully agree with you, Simo.
Just before we move on to the promotees, Bamber Bridge.
Well, an amazing escape from last season. They were dead and buried midway through April, and then they won that streak of three games on the spin, beat Hyde, beat Matlock.
Cancelled the last day to do our die match against Mickle.
Oh yeah,
that
exactly.
Ruined that day.
Well, they effectively relegated. Relegated Marine, didn't they? You know.
Yeah. I mean, the inevitable happened. You know, a manager leaves. He did take a couple of players with him.
He did take a couple of players originally. Well, a few players originally. Then came back for a couple more in the summer.
That's
so
what I mean. I mean, you know, the left side's gone, hasn't it? So.
Well, you know, Bamber Bridge have got Ryan White back. So
great,
you know.
Not only that, though, they've got Neil Crowe again in the background a little more. Yeah. So I didn't ask, obviously, towards last season, Crowe's brought the players.
Is he director of football?
He's not back as a manager, but again, like we were saying before, our experience with some of the other clubs, that's going to be vital for a lot of people. A lot of teams, and for Bamber Bridge as well. So getting the players in potentially.
Were you surprised that they, obviously it was a brilliant achievement to stay like you said because they were down.
Yeah.
Were you surprised that they moved then very quickly to appoint Joey Collins rather than wait? Or is that a good thing they moved quickly because it's a reward, off you go, you've earned it?
I actually think it was the right thing to do because he'd proven his chops basically,
yeah,
hadn't he?
Again, I say having someone like Crowe behind him as well will be a benefit to him now. So it all depends on how well them two can work together. If they can get it off,
I
mean, it should be fine.
I think it depends on if Ali Wadaka can stay fit, because even in pre-season it's looked like the Ali Wadaka show again. He scored two goals the other night. You know, it's just they've got Adam Sumner in, which, you know, a very good replacement for Adam Dodd, but a direct one too. But I think they're going to struggle this season. I really do. The players they brought in, generally speaking, I'm happy to be proven wrong, of course, but I don't think they're going to be any better than bottom half or mid-table.
Okie dokie. Let's talk about the new teams then, joining us from below. Firstly, come on then, Radcliffe.
No, I've said it all pre-season, and I've said it at the club as well. If Radcliffe can finish 17th, it will be a successful season for us.
Well, 18th, you might win the AGM Cup.
Well, here's the AGM Cup, and obviously this our next up.
Do you mean 19?
Three going down in the 20s.
No, two down, and then so 22nd, 20th. Yeah, 19th. You're correct. 18th
would be brilliant, wouldn't it?
There you get the playoffs. We're having a party in here. But a lot of it is going to be how well we can gel to this level again. At the same time, it's been 10 years since, well, 13 years since we've been at step three.
Is that how long it is?
Yeah. We've got the experience in the squad, so obviously Tunde Oluwabi has decided to go play in the Gozo League over in Malta. Big, big loss for us. But at the same time, Danny Mitchell has come in and looks that similar sort of player. Got Matty Wolfenden, who's still looks like he's the part at this moment in time. Prince Haywood's finally getting settled. And attack-wise, Radcliffe look okay. The main problem for Radcliffe is going to be temperament. Too many bookings last year, and when the players have been missing, that's why points were dropped. It's shown a little bit towards the end of the season. I think that's where Radcliffe kind of could have blown the title a little bit, where players were just missing, where we need that bit of experience. But again, the first six games are a nightmare for Ratcliffe.
I was going to say, I mean, it's a nice gesture, by the way, from Ratcliffe to invite all season ticket holders from Bury.
The only points I can see was potentially getting anything out with Bambi Bridge, and that's even as a struggle. But get up.
I actually think you'll do well against Bamber Bridge.
But again, when
you've got that bounce of being a team at the top, aren't you?
I mean, we're not really going to do a fixture preview because it's game one, isn't it? But South Shields.
South Shields.
It's a baptism of fire, that, isn't it?
Bamber Bridge.
Hang on a minute. If you cast your mind back a couple of seasons, one of the few teams who stopped South Shields taking four points was Radcliffe.
You're right, Burke.
An absolutely colossal 0-0 draw.
Again, Ratcliffe 19th, 18th. I'm happy with that. That's the best way I can say it at the moment.
Aim high, Teagle.
And then not get battered 6-7-0 by Scarborough, FC, and South Shields in the first six games. And Baysford as well.
And Berkey, Gibbo was meant to be here tonight. I believe the invitation was. He must have got lost in the post. It's the only explanation.
Yeah.
Atherton calls might as well.
Shall I do
to
a Gibbo impression?
No, don't do a Gibbo impression.
Yeah, go on. You may as well.
Atherton calls. Gibbo.
Well, I'll tell thee straight.
Let's just go with Burke. Atherton calls. What should we expect?
I think you should expect a team who have got the strongest work ethic in the division. A proper gang mentality between them. You know, they absolutely love each other to bits, the players. They're all best mates of each other and that. I don't think they've recruited anyone who makes you go, oh, hello,
The keeper just brought in to replace Greg Hartley.
Greg Hartley, he's just become goalie coach at Oldham Athletic. So, there you go.
It's such a rise, isn't it?
It's been brilliant. A handful of the players who were with him at step six are still at the club now, and certainly a good proportion of them from when they won promotion from the North West Counties.
If they stayed up, that would be success, or do you think they can even go a bit further?
I think they can aim for around about, if they can finish 14th, I think that'll be an absolutely brilliant season.
Main thing with Aberdeen though is the last five seasons they've actually won something. So Castle obviously won the West Division last year, season before the Integro, season before North West Counties and the double in there, League Division 1 before that. So they've got that winning mentality, and they've got the maturity, because the majority of the teams followed them through as well. They've not really changed since the North West County few days.
They got some good players in that team as well.
Bernard Hardcastle, always getting his name muddled up for some reason, but he's very good winger.
And you'll vouch this, your club's done it more recently. It is still a big step up from step four.
Huge step up, and I think particularly this season. Even compared to last year, it looks so much stronger.
We had it a few seasons
ago where we were talking about FC United. They've got to get promoted this season because it doesn't look as strong as it has been the last couple of years. And by the way, next year, South Shields are coming up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not that case this season. It looks nails, absolutely nails.
That was brutal.
As I said before, same with any of the promoted sides. 19th, 18th. If they finish there,
well, I was going to say, is that a good season for Morpeth Town?
No,
they're the ones I've got a big question mark over. What can we expect from Morpeth?
Morpeth have got a lot of talent in that side. They really have. They walked their division last season. I mean, it just weren't even close.
It's funny about expectations, because last season we were talking about, how are they going to cope with the travelling expenses?
Based on what they smashed it, didn't they?
Yeah.
Well, I know their manager is really confident with this coming season. So at Blackpool for the player awards, he said the plans are already in place.
But, honestly, I think they'll be aiming top eight.
Really?
Okay, yeah, with a little bit of a, you know,
there ain't no room in
the top eight.
I've been observing this. How many teams have we got in the top eight?
About 20?
I didn't know the league had 24 teams, to be honest with you, but there you go. Let's talk about predictions. Oh. Now, just to let the listener know at home, you know, we're in a bunker here. We're in a cellar, in a pub, in Manchester somewhere.
In Stockport.
We know nothing. But that's not going to stop us. That's not going to stop us giving our predictions for what's about to happen over the course of this season. Firstly, who's your bottom three, Burke?
Oh, no way! Absolutely not a problem.
You're going to do it as well.
Yeah, I am.
Go on, then. I ain't doing that.
Bottom three, Grantham. This is no particular order, but Grantham, Michelover and Radcliffe. That's Simo laughing, not me. I'm deadly serious.
No, that, he wasn't laughing. He was laughing in his face. James, if I could give you a hug, I would. Oh, but there's too many wires in front of me.
Lip,
sorry, do you want a hug?
It's a lip quiver.
It's only Burke. He always gets it. No, 10 points. Do you remember 10 points?
I'm just remembering Lee badging my name. That's fine.
Now, James, obviously you can't get involved. In obviously, you can't get involved in this, so I'm going to skip you. Yeah. So,
Ben?
Yes, I've been a league official and everything.
Can I also have a little wild card for relegation?
Of course,
please?
You can.
Witten Albion.
I only went to relegation to wind Berkey up. I wasn't expecting him to jump in with both feet. Simo, you don't have to commit.
So I'm not going to.
Good, okay. Let's talk about the title.
Okay.
Who's going to win the title?
This is much more difficult.
Yeah. Are we on the clock here? We're doing our work,
you know. Right, South Shields, as you know, I think they're
10
gonna,
points.
10 points with Warrington second.
10 points behind.
Baseford in, they're going to win it by 10
points. Baseford in third place.
That's a good shout.
Thank you. Fourth place, this is where it gets tricky, isn't it? Let me just look through my notes. Oh, blimey. Ashton United are going to be a very fit team, so I think I've got to put Ashton in fourth. I've got a funny feeling about Buxton again. I think Buxton will be in the playoffs to build on a cracking season last year, and they've still got their best players knocking about. I think Buxton.
So just to confirm, editor's note: this is for you, James, for the spreadsheet later in the season. You're saying South Shields to win the league, playoffs of Warrington, of Baseford, Ashton, and Buxton.
Yeah,
that's what we said.
Right.
In that order,
Simo.
I've got Ashton United to win the league and South Shields, Warrington, Gainsborough and Baseford in the playoffs.
Okie dokie. Now, James, there was a time where, you know, we had Alan Alcock
everyone
on the
else
show.
In sixth.
No disrespect to you, but Alan Alcock, he was a league official for a number of years, and he nailed his colours to the mast. He said, Hyde United were going to get relegated. Admittedly, he was joking, but he was right.
Actually,
at one point he was. That,
that was Aaron Flanagan.
No, it was
Alan.
Was it?
Because he basically predicted four sides to get relegated who were never going to get relegated.
Oh, right, okay.
Thinking, Hyde United, as if. I mean, they did. But, James, you can give us who you've got a sneaky feeling might win the league this year. Not who you want to win the league, but who you're predicting. So, people know you're a civil servant. You'll be fine.
I'm going to say it's not going to be Radcliffe. Simple as.
It's all right. No one thought it was going to be.
But yeah,
just banter, Radcliffe fans. Just banter.
I've been saying it all season.
it's good having you back.
Yeah. Obviously, you're going to have a really tough season with the teams that were there last year. So South Shields, again, at the start of pre-season, thought, I'm not at all sure, but now they've got the players in, maybe. Scarborough, obviously, they've recruited really well. Ashton United, they're going to be a real, real force to reckon with. What's going to happen, don't know. And again, Jody Bannum's proven himself at this division before. So let's not forget that bit. Warrington will want to make amends for last season, but can they make it? Gainsborough.
There's only four teams in the playoffs.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Again, I'm being.
He's just running through all the teams.
Yeah. But
remember, there's only 22 teams in the league.
Yeah. But main thing for everyone is there's no super playoff this year.
Oh, is there not? Oh, good.
Now, incidentally.
That's a good reason.
Thank you for. Did you predict anything there?
I put a couple of teams.
No, he
together.
Gave a politician's answer.
Blimey.
But if it means anything, I have.
Well, what's important?
Sealed it away, my predictions. So.
Oh.
Did
Swampy send any before?
He did, actually.
I
couldn't tell if he was joking, though.
We'll come to them in a second. Incidentally, we've recorded this show because Swampy's not here in record time, and actually, it's a very rounded show. So the hour's up, and we've not mentioned any Step 4 sides. And how they're going to get on. And I did say that was going to be on the agenda. So what I propose is draw a line under this MPL show and we come back later today, magic of audio boom and iTunes and all that, with a supplemental podcast, which is for Step four.
Wonderful.
Yeah, how does that sound? Yeah.
A dessert.
Just to let you know, I know you're all watching your timesheets and everything. It's literally going to be 10 minutes. Just to say.
Okay. Oh, so I don't need to get another drink?
You can get another drink if you want at that point.
I'll get... Do you want Montego?
No, I'll have one.
Right, anyway, I need to draw a line under the show first.
Oh, sorry. Oh, right.
Magicka Radio and all that.
Yeah.
Sorry. What did Swampy say?
So Swampy's got down his top five in no particular order.
Do his voice.
I can't really do it.
I'll do it. Yeah, pass it in.
It's that bit there. The first one and the fifth one read last.
Where?
You have to start with... Oh!
Where am I looking? Tremendous. All right, okay. In no particular order, Morpeth, Warrington, South Shields, Ashton and Matlock.
Hey? Is he... What's he... What?
Tremendous. Right,
he always loves the left field.
If Ferris Swamp is still moaning about what's happening in Belgian League anyway, so...
Well, I can't say blame him. It's an absolute shambles. Good God. Oh,
anyway, so that's the end of this season preview for the 2019-20 season. Pre-recorded live on a Wednesday night here at the Heating Hop in Stockport. A big thank you to the Heating Hop for hosting this special preview show. Look out for the Step 4 show.
Hey.
Which is the new name. I'm fed up of giving it a new name. You can go around doing your Michael Palin with your compass and all this.
Ben, just
it's
remember
now the Step 4 show.
Just remember, right, Ben, okay.
Why
didn't you
call
time,
it MPL Show Extra anymore? Why did you come that idea?
Because it just confused matters, didn't it?
I don't know, did it?
Did it? Yeah.
It wasn't really extra, was it? It was like every week. If anything, this debate show was the extra bit. So, anyway, so look out for the Step 4 show. We'll be previewing Division North West and South East.
Correct.
And
T-Got, I need to pick a bloody bone with you.
Is it with a club union with G by any chance?
No, it's about this thing about, oh, averages. You're not meant to I've figured it out. You're not meant to do it on average. You're meant to do it on mean distance.
Oh, can we do this on the next on the
Step
4
we'll
show?
We'll talk about it.
Let's do it on the Step 4 show.
Yes.
Berkey,
there's your point to listen to the next show as well.
Berkey, just before we go, just to plug the commentary this weekend, Basford United on Saturday on 26th.
Yeah, Hyde United versus Basford, and then on Tuesday night against FC United, live from Broadhurst Park.
On FC Radio, of course. Anyway,
yeah, I'm there. Oh, with Swampy's going to be on that, though.
Yeah, we're all there,
aren't we? It's
all right, the big boys are back now. Anyway, right, let's...
just because you've got jingles.
Look, just because you've got headsets. Anyway.
Oh, look at me, I'm running everything through a Mac. Does it sound good? Well, it does when we can hear it, Ben.
Welcome to
XLR. Just to say, Saturday's matches in the league, Ashton United against Atherton Coles. Quick round the table before we go. Ashton against Atherton Coles.
Welcome to the Premier Division, Atherton Coles.
Grantham against FC United.
Hang on, we didn't give a...
Welcome back, FC United.
What? Yeah, I know. Anyway, go on.
Oh, FC all day.
Hyde United against Basford.
Draw.
Basford.
Live on 26-0. Lancaster against Stafford.
Draw.
All day long.
Yeah. Matlock against Bamber.
I
Matlock,
think
just
a
1-0.
Scrappy home win. Yeah,
1-0.
Michelover against Stalybridge.
Draw.
I think Stalybridge to come out of the blocks and then fade.
What a game this is. Nantwich against Gainsborough.
Woof.
Home win.
Above 4.5 on your coupon.
Radcliffe against South Shields.
10-0. You see, we don't know.
Scarborough to the home team. What? Wow.
Scarborough against Buxton.
It's a bit of a belter.
Yeah.
A bit of a belter, that.
Well, Scarborough won that one last season. They had a comeback in that match. Oh,
anything
could happen.
Good.
Anything could happen.
Four red cards each. Yeah.
Warrington against Morpeth. Bang.
Blimey. Oh,
you've got a bat yellows, I think. Welcome to the Premier Division to Morpeth.
You know what? I think that's going to be a draw.
Ooh. And finally, Whitby against Witten.
If Witten lose any more players to injury, I will be playing.
I think you could do a job.
Live, you could do a job.
Yeah. Live on the Oxford Coast.
Witten's record against Whitby is outstanding, so let's go away with.
And on that note, that is the end of the show. Andrew Simpson, a big thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Berkey, thank you for coming on the show.
Cheers,
man. T-Got James Hayes, social media officer for the league. Thanks for coming on the show. And wherever you're going this weekend, cheering your MPL side, make sure you have fun. Bye-bye.